And happy Easter to everyone, and delighted to see you here this morning. We have a lot of folks out of town, and usually people will let me know, Pastor, we're going to have to go out of town. We're going to be gone, you know, because kids are out of school. They got out on Friday, and folks taking vacations and going away. And I'm just, you know, you always think, oh, boy, it's going to be tough. But Easter, nice time. Sometimes we'll have visitors come, and that'll be a blessing. So I'm glad that you are here, and it certainly is a blessing to be able to celebrate Easter. Amen. I'll tell you, what a joy to know that the grave isn't the end. I see Marie over there, and we all, you know, it wasn't that long. We just met, had a beautiful service for Dick, and had a just a sweet spirit. Boy, Marie, wasn't it a sweet spirit? Such a good spirit. And I've been thinking, you know, I just wonder what he's doing on Easter morning in heaven. You know, just thinking about that. And, of course, Linda's dad just recently went to heaven. And so many, you know, how do they celebrate? Of course, it's Easter every day there. And for the Christian, it should be Easter every day, right? Amen? Because up from the grave, he arose. And death does not have, not only doesn't have a sting anymore, it doesn't have a victory either. And so, praise the Lord for the resurrection. Well, we're going to study Revelation. And until he comes, we'll just keep talking about him. And we'll have the Lord's Supper tonight. We'll look at his death, his burial, his resurrection, and his coming again. And so we're going to finish off lesson 36, but if you need lesson number 36 or 37, raise your hand. Brother Herndon has those if you need those, all right? Looks like just a couple maybe. Lesson number 37, hard to believe. That is our last lesson in Revelation. And you say, wow, we'll be done soon. There's no guarantee of that. We need another one up here, Glenn. Linda needs one, all right? You need 37, Linda? 37, yeah. So no guarantee that that's going to be soon, because I've looked at my notes, and yeah, I think we've got a little ways to go. Now, next week, of course, we'll have evangelist Tony Petronico will be here, and all the classes will come up. That doesn't mean they're going to bring their bacon and eggs with them, but the other classes will come, and Brother Petronico is a good friend. He'll be a blessing. And, of course, we will be gone. Brenda and I will be gone with the senior class of our school on their senior trip. And, again, they're wanting to go and chose to go to Barbados to visit the Smiths there. And so we're going to fly out of Canada, and therefore we're going to get to be with our Canadian missionaries as well, three of them, the Paulises, the Whitties, and the Johnstons. And so then we'll fly out on Tuesday to Barbados, and we have a nonstop flight, believe it or not, out of Toronto that'll only take about 5 hours, and we'll go from, I think it's going to be in the 40s maybe, to mid-80s, and right away. And so anyway, going to have a nice trip. We will not be goofing off. Our group is singing at every service. I'll be preaching at every service. We will be doing a lot of soul winning there, and so it's definitely a mission trip slash senior trip, and I'm sure there will be time to have a little fun as well. But pray for us, and pray, of course, for Brother Petronico. Then the next Sunday, I will be back, but we will have a missionary here, and why can't I think of his name? Anyway, I forgot his name. Anyway, we'll have a missionary here on Sunday morning. Very rare to have a missionary, but it was the time he could come. And let me just see if it's, because it's going to bother me now. Do you get like that when you don't remember something? And anybody in here ever forget anything? What? What'd you say? I forgot. Anyway, I don't see his name. And that's going to bother me. Anyway, okay, let's move on. So Revelation 20, verse 11 is our verse, memory verse for lesson 36. And I'm going to finish lesson 36 today, unless I can't think of that missionary's name. But let's go ahead and say that together. We'll say the reference, the verse, and then the reference, and begin. Revelation 20, 11. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. Revelation 20, 11. And again, Revelation 20, 11. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. Revelation 20, 11. Father, we thank you again for the cross. We thank you that our Savior came and lived a perfect life and died on an old rugged cross so that our sins could be covered and blotted out by the precious blood that he shed on that cross. And we thank you for the resurrection, that there is life. Lord, there is eternal life. There's abundant life. And we rejoice over that today, and not just because today is Easter, but Lord, because we know it to be true from thy word. And really every day we should rejoice over that eternal life. And so bless now our Sunday school time. Be with all our classes. I pray you'll speak to hearts throughout our ministries here. And if there's anyone here today who does not know Christ as their Savior, that today would be the day they would come to Christ and be saved. Please bless now, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we have covered Revelation 20 pretty much. We're just about finished. Revelation 20, verses 1 to 3. We talked about the restraint. And I'm not going to go over all that again. Revelation 20, several verses, talked about the resurrection, the two resurrections that take place. And, of course, then the reign, the 1,000-year millennial reign. Revelation 20, verse 4 and verse 6. Then number 4, the rebellion, that final rebellion. We talked about that, Revelation 20, verses 7 to 10. And again, the thing that seems to stand out is, number 1, the devil, he doesn't change. And number 2, man doesn't change. You know, it's just man, we're sinners. The devil is sin. And nothing changes, and therefore the devil obviously is defeated and cast into the lake of fire. He's not annihilated. He is cast in the lake of fire. And by the way, whether it be the bottomless pit where the devil was or whether it be the lake of fire, he's not the king anymore. And so number 5, we talked about the reckoning and the justice in Revelation 20, verses 11, and we started verses 11 to 15. I saw a great white throne and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And we talked about, number 1, the justice, number 2, the judge, and we ended last time with what I have as capital C, the jury. And it was these 5 sets of books. And the 5 sets of books are used to judge man. And obviously, any one of these books would make us guilty, any one of them. But we're not guilty if we are saved. And praise the Lord for that. Words like justification, just, all those kinds of words, not guilty. Not guilty. And praise the Lord, we are not guilty. And so these 5 sets of books that take place at the great white throne judgment, they are convicting, every one of them, conscience, so that there's no excuse. In the conscience of every man is a right and a wrong, is a knowledge of God, is a, we call it a God consciousness. And mankind has that. Doesn't matter what anybody, we didn't know, and there is no excuse. The Bible says that, so that they are without excuse. And so conscience, then our words will be, they've been recorded. Aren't you glad you're never going to have to answer for your words? Praise God. Again, those would be convicting enough. Our words, secrets, the Bible talks about a book where the secrets, nobody knows. God knows.
God knows. God always has known. And so the secrets, works, another thing, our works. And we think we're doing a lot of good things, and we do. And people do some good things. But the Bible says that our good works, without Christ, our good works, our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. And the rags there in the description, if you went back and studied that, it's like the rags that would be wrapped on a wound, a bloody, pussy wound. And that means that our good works are that way to God, Isaiah 64. So again, our works are also recorded. And then, of course, another book, the Bible says, the Book of Life. And really, it's quite simple. It says very, very clearly in verse 15, whosoever was not found written in the book of life. And so if a person's name is not there, if they are not saved, then obviously that is the final judgment. So it would appear that all these books prove sin. All these books, all these different things, conscience, words, secrets, works, it proves sin. And then is his name written in the book of life? And if it is not, then they are guilty. And again, praise the Lord for the blood of Jesus Christ that makes us not guilty. And so we come to capital D, and that is the judged. And it is, the description is this: I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged out of those things which are written in the books according to their works. These are the dead, all the dead that have ever died. They are all now standing. According to verse 12, it starts out, they stand before God. But I do want you to see Romans 14 and verse 11, because we know what eventually happens. Romans 14 and verse 11, it says, for it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. I mean, that day will come where they will eventually bow. So in my mind, I see this being a judgment, standing before the judge, who is the Lord Jesus Christ. And I see them stand before him, and the books are opened. And maybe, maybe it is one of those things where just every accusation is read before this person. Eventually, as they stand before holiness, I can tell you this: the closer I get to Jesus, the dirtier I feel. And I mean that with all my heart. I'm thinking of somebody right now who once said to me, I just want to get closer and closer to God. And the more they did, the more they were coming to see me saying, wow, you know, I am so wicked. And you know, to the world and to many of us, we'd say, wow, this person, that's a good Christian. But the closer you get to holiness, the more you realize you're not holy. And if you can imagine standing before holiness as the books are read, and you know you're guilty, eventually I believe they will fall on their knees, recognizing the fact that they are guilty. And these people are all unsaved people. I think it's interesting that God, very, very clear, this is a very righteous, just judgment that takes place. There's no pulling punches here. There is no, by the way, there's no mercy here. Mercy has already been extended. Grace and mercy, people had opportunity after opportunity. I think of how many opportunities I had before I got saved. There was no way, Brother Binder, I could have complained about anything. I had many opportunities to get saved before I actually got saved. And so, again, I recognize God's righteousness and his the fact that, first of all, he proves their guilt, and then he opens. Now, again, the fact that they're there, their names are not in the book of life. They're not saved. That's why they're there. You and I are not going to be there. We're not going to be part of that judgment unless we watch, and I don't know if we will or not. The Bible doesn't say that. It does talk about wiping away our tears, and there's something we cry about. I don't know what it is. I just know that that the people will not only be found guilty, but not one of them will be able to argue that, first of all, why didn't do it? You know, if you go to jails and prison, Brother Jamerson will tell you, nobody's ever guilty, right? I mean, they very rare does somebody say, yes, I'm guilty. You know, it's usually, no, I was framed, you know, they set me up or whatever. It's always somebody else's fault. Well, nobody's going to be able to say that. Do you understand? In hell, after somebody in the lake of fire in years and years from now, there's not going to be any excuses. There ain't going to be any. Well, I was done wrong. No, because the books are open, and then the other book, the book of life. Is their name there? It's not there. Do you understand the difference? Is Jesus Christ. It's not church. It's not religion. It's not works. The difference is Jesus Christ. And that's how the name is written there. These that stand before God. I mean, honestly, he wouldn't have to open up the book of life and say, show them that their name's not there. They already know. But he does, to prove that not only are they guilty, but they rejected God's provision. They rejected the salvation that was offered to them by the Lord Jesus Christ. And so they're proven guilty, and justice demands a payment. You know, justice demands that payment be made. Now, again, we're at Easter time and we're celebrating payment being made. Jesus hung on a cross. It is finished, he cried, and payment was made. Justice demands that payment be made. And as someone stands before holiness, as they stand before righteousness, guilty, then payment has to be made. And that's it. Is their name written there? Their name is not there. You know, so many would say, oh, that's just not right. It's just not, it is every bit right. It is every bit, it goes beyond fair, because the truth of the matter is, God didn't have to send his son to die on the cross for us. He didn't have to. They rejected God's payment. And, you know, we have people all the time, well, you know, what about people that grew up here, grew up there, they never knew? My Bible says somehow, some way, there is a God consciousness. There was a way for them to accept the payment that God made. I don't understand all that. I just know that's what there is. They are without excuse. And so we come to capital E, and that's the judgment. And verse 14, death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Now again, that's where the devil is. That's where the false prophet is. That's where the Antichrist is. And the devil is no longer a king. And the false prophet is no longer a big shot. And the Antichrist is no longer a dictator. Everybody's the same. They're all burning up in a lake of fire. But a fire that the Bible says is never quenched. And their bodies are never burnt up. There is constant torment and torture. Matthew 25, verse 41. Matthew 25, 41. Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. Again, how do you argue that? Everlasting fire. It's not just poof and they're gone. Bible says in verse 46, and these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. And again, understand the word righteous there is not talking about somebody who just always did right, because there isn't anybody like that other than Jesus. We're righteous because of Jesus dying on the cross. We're righteous because we take on his robe of righteousness. But these shall go away, everlasting punishment, everlasting fire. And so Satan, sinners, and sin are removed. Now, this is an important thing to take note of as we come into chapter 21. Okay, Satan is in the lake of fire. Sinners, unsaved, unrighteous sinners are in the lake of fire, and all sin is burnt up. Okay, it's removed, and as far as we know and can tell, it's removed forever. It's gone. All right. And so that's how chapter 20 ends, and it is a very solemn. Every time I read that passage, it's very, just a very somber and a very solemn moment. It reminds me there are many, many people that we know, people that are our acquaintances, our loved ones, our neighbors, that are lost, and it's over. Understand, when I say it's over, it's not over. Torment is forever. Pain is forever. Sorrow is forever for those whose names are not written in the book of life. But we end lesson 36 with that verse, and we now move to lesson 37. And I've simply entitled it The Alpha and Omega. Which means the beginning and the end. Jesus said, that's, you know, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word was made flesh, talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. He's always been, He will always be, the Alpha and the Omega. And so He was in the beginning, and we see Him here in Lesson 37 or Revelation 21 and 22, He is in the end as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Our memory verse for Revelation 21, I'm sorry, Revelation 21 and 22, our memory verse is two verses, Revelation 21 verses 6 and 7. And let's go ahead and say those together, and we'll say the reference and then we'll say the verses. Begin. Revelation 21, 6 and 7. And He said unto me, It is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. Those are Revelation 21, 6 and 7. Powerful verses. Remember, everything's gone as far as what we would know. And we'll talk about that as we get into this a little further. But sin is gone. Satan is gone. Sinners are gone. It's everything's new. Everything's new. You're new. I'm new. We're new. We're new creatures. Now, we're already new creatures. We just have the old battle. You know, we don't have that that resurrected body yet. We don't have that perfect body yet. But one of these days we will. It'll all be new. That's hard to imagine. It's hard to imagine, Brother Frank, not looking at somebody and saying, boy, I wish I had what they have. That's hard to imagine. And it's hard to imagine not having, a bad thought about somebody. Hard to imagine having a perfect mind. Hard to imagine going through day after day after day and not sinning and not fighting with sin. It's hard to imagine not being tempted to sin, because we can't be tempted to sin because we won't sin. Amen. It's hard to imagine. And yet that's how it's going to be. It's hard to imagine this perfect place. And Revelation 20, verse 11, is how everything, I believe, is cleaned up. It is all cleaned up. Revelation 20, 11, it says, I saw a great white throne, him that sat up. Remember, we talked about this. From whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. Again, the great white throne judgment takes place not here on this earth, because the Bible says the earth and heaven fled away. Look at 2 Peter 3 and verse 1. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 1. The Bible says, this second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that ye may be mindful of the words which are spoken before by the holy prophets and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lusts and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God, the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was being overflowed with water perished. Now, you remember the story, of course, of Noah's Ark, and that's what the reference is made here. You know, man, the Bible says the thoughts of men were only evil continually, and every thought that man, you know, we think today, how can people even think of this stuff? I mean, some of this transgender stuff and what all is going on, we think, how in the world do people... Well, in reality, that kind of mind has always been a reprobate mind. Well, God, in Noah's day, he just destroyed the world. He sent a flood and it was covered, you know? But it was still the world. It was still the earth. And when the water receded and went away, then there were the mountains, and then pretty soon there were the fields and the valleys and the countries, etc. And but God, in a sense, God cleansed the world of the sin and left, you know, Noah and his family and then the animals two by two and all that. But Peter makes reference to that here. But now in verse 7, he says, but the heavens and the earth, which are now by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. So he says, okay, there was a destruction by water, but he said there's going to be a destruction by fire. But, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. And again, we have an understanding of God with time. You know, for us, we think, wow, you know, that was, 6,000 years ago. You know, when the flood took place, I know, billions and bit, forget that. But anyway, so we think, wow, it's a long, well, the Bible's very clear. To God, time is not a, you know, 1,000 years is like a day. You know, it's God is not limited by time. But here's what it says. Verse 9, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Very clear, God wants everybody to be saved. God is not willing that any should perish. He wants everybody to come to repentance, to trust Jesus as their Savior. But it says the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the light, and watch what it says, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, the earth also, and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Everything. The works, the heavens, the earth. Now, I don't know that that's what takes place when the Bible says that, you know, in verse 11, that from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away. But it seems like very, very possibly it all just burns up. Seeing then, verse 11, that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. And so as God, because he saw the sin on the world, on the earth, he destroyed it with a flood. Well, this destruction will be with fire, burning away all anything of sin, all hint of sin. It will all be dissolved. And again, very, very clearly, it says, not only it says the elements shall melt with fervent heat, the earth also, and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Lying, cheating, stealing, immorality, drunkenness, you name it, blasphemy, all those things. Everything. Just God is going to purge with fire everything. Now, how far does that go? And we, you know, how do you know? It's just so hard to know because obviously Satan was in heaven. We read that in the book of Job. He came before God. And so just kind of an interesting thing. And I don't know, you know, one of these days we'll know and we can talk about it then. But it is an interesting thing to think about, especially when I come to verse 11. And I'm going to close. I don't want to start Rome number one because it needs to all be dealt with altogether. But it's interesting. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved. So in other words, if we know, if we have it in our minds now and we understand that God is going to clean everything up. Okay, we know about Noah's Ark and he sent a flood and everything was cleaned up. But in the end, he's going to send fire. And everything is not only going to be, it's going to be burned up and gone to start over. So he says this, he says, seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness? What do you suppose he's expecting from us? What is Peter talking about here? What is he saying as far as, you know, well, if God is going to burn everything up because of the sin and the filth and the garbage that is in this world and in the heavens, and he's going to burn it all, doesn't that mean that we should be holy and righteous instead of, thank you guys for coming. We need the money, amen? I want you to think about that. How holy do you suppose God thinks we ought to be? How righteous? Should we just, well, you know, God doesn't care. You know, we just want to do our own thing. Is that really what we think? If God is going to just burn up all the sin and filth and wicked? Well, my lie, you know, it's a white lie, really. My sin's a white sin. You know, it's not dark, it's not that bad. But Bible, the Bible's so clear that the smallest sin, one, if we're guilty of one, we're guilty of all. It just gives me an idea of what God thinks about sin. Brother Jamerson, if he's going to cover our world with water one time because of sin, and then he's going to burn everything up another time because of sin, it gives me a pretty good idea of what he thinks of sin. We have Christians all over the place today saying, well, you know, we can just do whatever we want. God doesn't care. We're saved by God's grace. And since we're saved by God's grace, we can do anything we want to do. I really think some folks are going to be in for a surprise someday when they stand before God. You cannot believe that God is going to ever tolerate our sin. He's going to deal with it just like he's going to burn everything up. I mean, someday this will all be gone. You say, well, we kind of like our church. Well, we're going to like heaven and the holy city a whole lot better. But I'm just saying, you know, why? I mean, we've dedicated this. Oh, and we have. Amen. But it's sin. I often wonder how much sin takes place on an average Sunday in church. Ugh. Scary, isn't it? Isn't it scary to think about that? It's sad to think about that because he's holy. He's righteous. He's God. So anyway, we will end with that and won't be back in Revelation for a couple of weeks. But and no, I didn't think of the missionary's name. I think it is Patrick Henry. Because didn't he say, give me liberty or give me death? I think that's this guy's name. Patrick Henry. I don't have my phone. I guess I won't look.